Corbin Hilty, Internal Bleeding, Episode 7. Welcome to Episode 7 of Internal Bleeding. I know it's been a while since I last put up an episode, but I've been swamped by schoolwork, got finals coming up and all that stuff. I'm still writing, though, keeping the story going. I just don't have a lot of time to put into producing these at the moment. So I'll shut up and get to the content. Here you go. The sound of Dan's voice pulled David out of a trance. Someone was at the door, and they were asking a lot of questions. Did they know where he was, or was it just a shot in the dark? He didn't know and wasn't about to give away his cover. The sickness washed over him again. "Sir," he groaned, shaking her awake. She took one look at him, and her eyes went wide with fear. David's face was ghost white. Beads of sweat stood out on his forehead. Sarah quickly whipped around and grabbed a trash can from Dupuken, but fortunately David held his cookies. Leaning fully against the wall, David fell asleep. "What was that?" Sarah asked, cracking open another beer. "Some SWAT squad claiming to be hunting for a dangerous fugitive. They asked if I had seen anything the night before, and I said yeah. I told them I saw someone sprint across 282 last night and run off into the woods wearing nothing but a medical gown." Dan spewed forth at a drunken rant. "So they didn't ask you any other questions? Doesn't that seem strange to you?" Sarah tried to reason out what was happening. She just stared at her drink until it hit her. "You did watch them leave, right? Tell me you kept tabs on all of them." Sarah wore a look of panic. Dan just looked confused as he finished off his beer. "I saw them leave. I literally watched them leave my property," Dan replied, nodding his head. Sarah wasn't sure if he was trying to convince her or convince himself. Picking up his shotgun, Dan returned it to the closet from which he had retrieved it. He disappeared into the closet and came out with a rifle equipped with a high-powered scope. "I'll go check just to be sure. You know where the guns are if you need them," Dan said, pulling on his winter jacket. He slipped out the door and was confronted by a cold wind. Maddox and his team walked into the control room drenched. Mostly from falling in snow-covered holes, but also from sweating. The majority of the trip was through the hills, both ways. That little tidbit just fueled the captain's rage. He wouldn't have been pissed if Evans hadn't assigned them on a wild goose chase, or if he had just spent a little more time on the intel of the mission. Apparently that information was classified, and they couldn't be trusted with it. Maddox stepped forward and shouted, "Where is the lieutenant?" "He's in the middle of a meeting in his office," a young man responded, jerking his head to the right, trying to direct the traffic. "That's just fine with me," Maddox said, clenching his fists. He walked briskly to the lieutenant's door and kicked it in with his boot heel.
"What in God's name is this?"
Evans demanded. Anderson and the young man sitting at the table across from Evans looked up with disinterest. Neither one seemed too surprised about the confrontation. They acted like it was a run-of-the-mill day at the office.
"Why did you send my team and I out on a pointless mission?"
the captain shouted, aiming his assault rifle right at the lieutenant's head. Evans rolled his eyes.
"How else was I going to get rid of Steele? That guy's been driving me insane since this whole dilemma started."
"So you send your own men out to get killed? What the hell is wrong with you?"
Maddox faltered, lowering his gun a bit. The young man took advantage of his mistake and thrust a survival knife right into the captain's knee, causing him to bend over in pain. Maddox panicked and pulled the trigger, putting bullets into all the furniture and his own man.
At the same time, Evans pulled out a pistol and aimed it right at the last SWAT member's head. Evans shot the last SWAT member right above the jacket's neckline. When each body hit the ground, a sickening thunk echoed through the room. Gunpowder wafted through the air, and casings rattled around on the floor. Evans took out a napkin and wiped the blood off his face and desk. He then offered the napkin to the rest of the room. They gladly accepted and tossed the used paper into the garbage. Anderson, I need you to dispose of the bodies in the quarry. Give them something to weigh them down. Make sure they don't come up in the spring, Evans said. Anderson got up and retrieved a tarp to transport the bodies on.
Well, that was eventful,
the young man said, watching Anderson leave the room. He turned his attention back to the lieutenant.
I apologize for the discrepancy, but these things do happen.
Evans tried to console the visitor, who just shook the attempt off. A sharp buzz filled the room, and the visitor pulled out an iPhone. He scrolled through some message and turned his attention back to the lieutenant. He spoke suddenly.
Sir, pardon the interruption, but the general has just sent me a request.
Sweat stood out on the lieutenant's brow. Panic was obviously coursing like a venom inside his veins. His hand shook slightly on the table as his eyes darted around the room. The lieutenant paused to clear his throat.
What would that be?
He asked. The young man took a glass and poured some water into it. He held up the glass.
Well, lieutenant.
The young man took a swallow from the glass. Evans just stared with a mixture of rage and fear. He wanted to rip the damn kid's head off, but was afraid of what he could say to the general. The man put the glass down and poured another.
The general would like to know whether or not you found Subject 357. His condition is worsening, and consequently, your noose is tightening.
Evans wiped the sweat off his face and replied,
Tell the general that we are working on the situation, and that we know where the subject is hiding.
You expect me to lie to the general?
The man shouted furiously. His eyes bore into the lieutenant's. Fear radiated from Evans' manner.
It's not lying. We've got his position down to a half-mile radius,
stammered Evans.
Do you really have his location?
The man demanded.
Yes,
Evans replied, shifting his eyes. He looked at anything as long as it wasn't his visitor. That man scared Evans to the core. The man looked back to the phone and whirred away at the keyboard, relaying Evans' message. The man looked up from the phone, and Evans' phone began to ring.
I do believe that is for you, Lieutenant,
the man said, getting up and strolling out the door.
Lieutenant Evans,
he stated into the phone.
Lieutenant, my secretary says that you have the subject's location under lock and key. Is that so?
The general's tone was unrelenting. It demanded answers.
Yes, sir. He's holding out in a house just half a mile northwest of our position. We are currently surrounding his location.
Evans recited, trying to convince General Haywick that the unit was on top of things.
Lieutenant, I'm grown wary of your inefficiency. I only have 4 days until the transplant was scheduled to take place. Find him by tonight, or you won't like what happens next. Am I understood, Lieutenant?
The general spoke evenly, his voice betraying no emotion.
Yes, sir. We'll have him in our custody by nightfall. It is 1,500 hours at the moment, and we will have him in custody by 1,800 hours, sir.
Lieutenant did everything he could to keep his voice from cracking.
Lieutenant, you don't have that long. 2 hours until I arrive. Your life is on the line. Over and out.
The general hung up the phone, and Evans just stared in disbelief. The general's voice echoed in his head. 2 hours until I arrive. He felt something on his legs and realized his hands were shaking violently. He pushed back his seat and stood up. The lieutenant walked to the door and screamed,
Anderson, get your ass in here!
Anderson hastened his step and walked inside the lieutenant's office. Lieutenant closed the door behind him.
Private, time is not on our side. We have 2 hours until the general arrives.
Evans stated.
2 hours?
Anderson asked in astonishment. Lieutenant signaled for the private to be silent.
I need you to round up another squad and head out to retrieve the subject.
Can you do that?
Evans asked, staring at the incredulous private. He seemed speechless, but somehow found the way to get the words out.
Sir, we don't have any tactical members left. I'll have to use the regular personnel. Is that suitable?
Anderson asked, his mind racing. Evans sat down at his desk.
That'll have to do, Private. That'll have to do.
You have been listening to Internal Bleeding, Episode 7. Read and performed by the author.